Okay.
Does that record?
It's recording. I want to say for the record that I'm not complaining and I'm not bitter. All of these things are the responsibility that go with a job. And I accepted the responsibility and everything that went with it. And I'm not complaining. I handled them as best I could, but it was part of the job. And I knew these things. And it's probably true of any office holder. And I recognized it and accepted it and did what I could. I'm not complaining that I probably didn't have any tougher time than any other mayor.
Right.
It's part of the job, all of these side issues and things. There always is, in politics particularly, there always is this underhanded business of aspiring to another job. This is true of politics, not so much in industry, but in politics. You're the mayor, and then you want to be the lieutenant governor. You want to be the governor, and you have to make points to move ahead, even if you make them at the expense of somebody else. And this is the nature of the business.
That's been funny, because I was going to ask you, how you felt about the people. Other politicians have sort of a bad rep where people think, well, they're all out for themselves, and they're all trying to get votes and so on. Having lived in that world all this time, are there people who were really, like yourself, kind of selfless or, not trying to promote themselves, who are just interested in serving the people, or are most politicians out for themselves?
Well, you know, as you said, originally politicians, many have gotten a bad rap. There's no question about that. However, in order to get elected every time, in order to aspire to other offices, you have to stay in the limelight, because the first rule is spell my name right. So that, you know, you really can't blame them. It's a funny situation. You want to do a good job, but on the other hand, you have your future to think about, and you want to aspire to other things. So that it's very difficult. And I just said this the other day to Rita. In my lifetime of politicians and people that I've met, 50 years worth, I don't think there are more than maybe a handful who really wanted to stay in the job that they had and do a job. Because many of them had a tough time staying in that job, because you're under a microscope all the time. And so you have to keep doing things that will appear good and that you won't be criticized for, because unfortunately, politicians, people in office look at Clinton. Everything he does is wrong.
That's terrible.
You're under criticism all the time. And so, you know, you can't blame them for this, because this is the nature of the business.
But yet, they all want to rerun again.
There seems to be a fascination.
Yeah,
with,
they like
with
the power.
Probably,
I think.
Well, I don't know how to say this. It's not that we don't have good people in public office, but very often super people don't want to run. I know very often when an office would come available and they'd say, "Who can we back to this office?" Those that we wanted didn't want to do it. So what came first, the chicken or the egg?
That leads to another question I've had. The party, the power of the party, it seems like, well, the Democrats have dominated Pittsburgh politics for so long. Is there such a thing as party loyalty? Is there such a thing as somebody saying, as a good Democrat, we tell you to do this and you do it? Does the Democratic Party stand for anything?
Not anymore. In the beginning, you see, there's strength in numbers. When there was a strong Democratic leadership, a strong Democratic Party, a lot of things were able to be accomplished. You know, Governor Lawrence, in his first renaissance, he made that whole point project almost personally, because he was a strong leader and he had a strong following. We've come a long way from that. We don't have strong leadership. Not only the Democrats, the Republicans don't either. They don't have strong leadership either. There is no, and then in the early days, when when the Democrats were starting out, they had a lot to offer people, jobs, positions, things like that. Now the party doesn't have those things. All, practically all city jobs are civil service or union. So they really have no inducement for people to help the party. I think the Democratic Party has fallen apart. I don't think there's leadership. Nobody can speak for the party or make a commitment. Because if you'll notice, practically everybody who has the endorsement loses. I had the endorsement. I didn't have the endorsement and I lost. I won, I'm sorry. I didn't have the endorsement for mayor and I won. And I could name any number of people. So that there's a total disregard, I think, anymore for policy, party policy per se, at least in Pittsburgh. But the only savior is that the Republicans are in worse shape. They're just as bad a shape as the Democrats. They have no leadership. They are fighting among themselves.
What do you think of Hillman.
Elsie
Hillman sending a letter to people saying, don't vote for the far right, they're bad for the Republican Party. I mean, are you aware of that?
Yes, sure. I met her the other day, too. We didn't discuss that issue. But I think Elsie was a strong leader. And she could see that these people who, and this is only my opinion, she didn't tell me this, but she could see where a lot of these people were infiltrating the party and probably doing damage. And I believe that she was sincere, and she believed that these people should not be a part of the party. Now, I don't think any Democrat would have ever done that, but the party is weak in Allegheny County anyhow, and she could see that this was bad. You can't fault her for that. She's been a strong leader and a good leader.
It also helps that she's Henry Hillman's wife.
Sure. Of course.
Let's see. We want to get more politics because everybody's interested in politics.
Can you turn off
some of these questions ahead of time? You were talking about dealing with the May Company and trying to get the sale of the Gimbel's building. This Richard Penzer is kind of a phenomenon. What is he, 37 years old?
Yes.
And owns half of downtown Pittsburgh now. Do you think he's good for the city? Do you think his coming from New York and kind of taking over is good or bad?
Well, that Gimbel's building was a constant source of irritation to me. I believed that the May Company, I went to the home office of the May Company in St. Louis numerous times when we had offers to buy the building and they wouldn't sell. They said they didn't get their price. And I went back and forth all the time. And we had other people show up. And when Mr. Penzer showed up with an offer that the May Company would accept, and I think at this point I was furious with them and I threatened to go public with their attitude that they didn't want competition. I screamed like the housewife that they didn't want competition and that the whole area was going downhill. So that when he came in and made an offer that they accept, I grabbed it. I insisted that they take his offer. Now, the things that he's buying, the things that he's doing, are things that nobody else wanted to do. And it isn't costing its taxpayers any money. He has his own funds and his own money, and he's doing all of these things on his own. He bought the Warner Building so his sister would have a studio, because she's an artist. So I don't fault him for that. But on the other side, I understand that the unions are complaining that he isn't utilizing the unions and he's doing a lot of offbeat things that they don't like. Well, I think we have to give him a chance. I think we have to sell him what he wants to buy and let him move ahead. And so if he's taken over, so what? It's an investment in Pittsburgh, and he's taken, he tells me every time I see him how much he loves Pittsburgh.
I wanted to ask you, I know you traveled a lot and you met a lot of celebrities, and it would be interesting to hear where you went and what celebrities you met.
Can I tell you that I'm not impressed with celebrities, and I never went out of my way to meet them. But whenever they filmed anything in Pittsburgh, I was always there when they started to meet the actors and welcome them to Pittsburgh, because I brought a tremendous amount of business. But in my lifetime, the only thing that really impressed me was a signing of a peace pact with Israel. I was the only one from Pittsburgh that was invited to that. And I was so impressed with that, I will never forget.
Is that at the White House?
At the White House.
Mm-hmm. What, do you remember when
last year when the Israeli
was
signed. It was just last year. And I was the only one from Pittsburgh invited, which impressed me. And that was the only celebrity thing that I thought was so great. Now, of course, I met all the leaders of Pittsburgh, all of the corporate presidents at places, Duquesne Club, places like that. I've met many actors or actresses, but I never took it seriously. I didn't think it was a big thing.
Let me go back to this peace pact. There's been so much controversy over this.
Now, yeah. Well, in Israel there is, because it's turned over the entire Gaza Strip.
But here, too, there's a lot of people who just don't agree with it. But you feel that...
Well, it's a start. It absolutely is a start. You know, I don't like the Nasser, or what's his name? Not Nasser.
Arafat.
I don't like him, and I don't think he's any good. But I think we have to try. We just can't keep killing people. One of the things I personally made a pitch.
El Hassan bin Talal, four words. Talal is T-A-L-A-L, I guess that's bin Talal.
Who was a leader then?
Okay, he came to Pittsburgh.
We met with him. We had a big reception for him. I personally interceded for Israel for their help.
What was his position?
I don't remember now what his position was, but this was maybe four or five years ago.
Mm-hmm. He was Arab, obviously.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But as far as celebrities or meeting people, I never went out of my way to meet them, ever. I never went anywhere because a celebrity was going to be there. I met many of them. They have forgotten me, and I have forgotten them, I'm sure.
What about your trip? You went to China. I know you took a lot of trips. You went to China.
Every single trip that I took was not paid for by the city of Pittsburgh. None of them. I just read in the paper where they sent some people to Denver to study something. We spent $3,000 on children's jobs. I know on jobs for young people. City spent. They never spent a cent of the city money.
I thought they were official city trips, though. That,
well, whenever I went as the guests of the government who invited me. Now, of course, it took time off from my city jobs, but I went as guests of the countries to promote Pittsburgh, and I think in every instance I did. When I came back from Taiwan, I had gotten a contract from Baker Brothers, who were engineers in here. Taiwan amazed me. It's a small country, but anything that they built, they paid for in front. They were building a subway when I was there. They never had bond issues, they never did any of these things, and they were so rich, they had so much money, they paid for everything in front. So I interceded, and I got a contract. I had them talk to some people from Pittsburgh who eventually got the contract. And wherever I went, all of these countries, I dwelt, and of course, they wanted to rent the old county airport, international or something, international trip. Well, anyhow, wherever I went, that was part of the job. I received it from Pittsburgh. Sometimes, maybe the effects are on reach. Maybe it'll develop later on, but I believe I laid the groundwork everywhere I went. However, I did go on my own. I went to Russia on behalf of the refuseniks before, 6 years ago. I went with a group to help refuseniks in Russia who were undergoing terrible things. And I went to Kiev, to Babi Yar. I went to Germany to
Boston Bible, because those things were dear and near to me, and I wanted to see them. But those things, when I was in Germany, we went to Germany at the request of Maglev, who wanted to build this new line, and they wanted us to see their plant and how they operated. But while I was there, I went to concentration camp to Bergen-Belsen, and I was glad I went. I will never forget that. It seems to me that in every place I went, I always looked through the synagogues. I always looked for things that were Jewish. It's inherent.
How do you feel about, how are you treated as a Jew, aside from the fact that you were...
Well, as I said before, I believe that there's an undercurrent. I believe that these things are known by many people, and I believe there's an undercurrent. I don't think anything ever surfaced, because it would be deadly for anybody to do that.
Undercurrent of anti-Semitism.
Anti-Semitism, yeah. I believe that underneath, you know, I was tolerated. When I went to Germany, as I said, I went to Bergen-Belsen, and the guide who took us around, me and George Wittner, and we roamed all over the place, and never at any point did I say I was Jewish till we were leaving. And then I said, well, I'm here because I'm Jewish, and you could see his attitude change. Now, people in Pittsburgh knew that I was Jewish, and there was no question about it. But I believe that it's there, and I don't think we'll ever get rid of it.
Seems to be coming up more and more these days, too.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your... Sylvie, do you have any more questions about her?
The only other thing I wanted to... the only thing I wanted to say is you said that you've met just about every president. So just give us some of...
Democratic presidents.
Give us some of
it
your...
It started, as I told you the other day, with Mrs. Roosevelt when I was a young kid coming here to dedicate the first public housing project. That was Bedford Dwellings. That was the first in the country. And I went and stood in the back and watched her. And I was so enthralled with all of that. Well, then thereafter, I went to the White House when Truman's were president. Margaret Truman came here to do a concert, and we couldn't sell tickets. We didn't want the president to be embarrassed, so we bought the whole house. And we gave the tickets away to get a crowd here. And I met Margaret, and I was so impressed with her. And I've been to the White House with every Democratic president. Is there when they had anything for women. And just the other day, they asked me about Jackie. I was invited to a reception that Jackie had, Jackie Kennedy.
She was such a lady.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And she took me and I think three or four other women on a tour of the White House. And I was so impressed with her charm. She was so charming. And then, of course, I was there when Mrs. Carter was the president, was the first lady. I was there several times under her administration. And I was a part, in the last years of practically every campaign, every political campaign in Allegheny County, because I was the president of the Pennsylvania Federation of Democratic Women. I was a national committee woman, or a state committee woman. So I met them all when they came here. Dukakis, I thought, was a good person. I was sorry to see him lose. I met most of these people at national conventions and, of course, when they came to Pittsburgh to campaign. So that I really did meet all of the presidents.
Can I ask you what you thought of Johnson? He said, he's bigger than life, wasn't he?
Yes. My all-time favorite, of course, as everybody knows, was Kennedy. And that's everybody's all-time favorite. Given, his history and what happened to him, maybe it would have changed later on. And next to him came Harry Truman. I just thought he was wonderful. Anytime, and I had two or three occasions to be in his company when he was either coming here to campaign or when I went to the White House. He was just like a brother. Everything about him was just so down to earth, and he was really on my level.
But you don't wish to talk about Mr. Johnson? not talking about him says something, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay, Selma, if you wanted to talk about other things.
Of course. Practically anybody that asks me to volunteer for anything, I do it. Because I didn't have time to do all of these things that I think are necessary. Now I do, and I'm doing it. I do a class, sort of an informal class at Carmel College. I'm a trustee at community college because I like that.
Well, you told us how well the students at...
Yes. I was really surprised because I told the principal, the president of Carmel College, that I'm not certified to teach, that I didn't know what I could do that would help the college. But she said, let's try. And so they gave me an office and they set up a time schedule for me. And the first few times that I was there, I was just inundated with girl, women students who came to ask questions. You know, not only how you get into politics, what do I think they should be doing? God knows I'm not, you know, I should not be giving advice. However, they all came to ask. A lot of the girls at Carlo were from other places, from other cities, were boarding at Carlo. And they were so interested in Pittsburgh and if they had a future here and how what they should be doing. But I found it very rewarding. And so I'm going back in August again. They're through now. And of course I go to community college where I'm a trustee and I find that interesting. And because I never had time, now that I'm going there, I find that community college is one of the biggest assets that Allegheny County has. And I'm going to Philadelphia to a conference on June the 10th for community college to learn more about community college as a trustee, because I think they're doing a wonderful job. They're so far-reaching in curriculum and things that people can do, you know, for a two-year term. And it's extremely inexpensive. And when I come back, it's going to be one of my projects to make as many people as I can aware of how much they can do at community college for very little money.
And it gives people who can't afford more expensive colleges.
And a start maybe for other colleges. And I'm doing all kinds of foolish things. The medical students, graduate med students at Pitt, do sort of a roast of their professors every year. They do a show. They asked me to do a little part of it, and so I apologize tonight to see what I look like.
Tonight
and tomorrow night they're putting on this show.
What, did they tape you, or what?
Well, they tape my part of it, but the rest of it is sort of a roast, and it's as clever as it can be.
Yeah, there's some clever people there.
Yeah, and they're all graduating this year, and so they do this, and they roast the professors, the doctors, things of that sort. So I do some of that, and as I told you before, I'm real interested in Jewish organizations. I think when they need a free speaker, they call me, and of course I go. I'm going to the Jewish home for something they're having. And this particular time of year is donor time. And so I've gone to numerous donor luncheons and been a part of it because they asked me to.
Sophie, oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's all. What else?
Let's get an update on your daughter. I know you have a daughter and you have grandchildren. It would be nice to get an update on.
Well, I have two grandchildren. My granddaughter is 17, she's a senior. And my grandson is 13, and he's in school. Both of my grandchildren and my daughter don't take me seriously. They don't, their schoolmates never knew that I was their grandmother, unless some issue came up where they knew where I mentioned it and they said it. And the same thing went for my daughter. In all the years that I was in politics and used to take her to political meetings and luncheons and card parties and things that were political, she was never impressed by it, never was impressed by me, and even now. I mean, I was just a job that I had. They were never impressed by it. But I love them dearly. And, of course, just last week I for the first time in my whole life, I babysat with my grandson. My daughter and her husband went with my granddaughter, who's in the band, to a competition, and I stayed with him for a couple of days. So I'm real happy. I'm proud of them, and they're so far, everything's going well, and I thank God for them every day.
What's your daughter's last name again?
Busia, B-U-S-I-A.
They say a prophet is never appreciated in his own hometown.
Yeah,
that's the story.
Yeah, that honor.
Yeah. Because I know when I first worked as a reporter at the press, my niece thought I sold papers down on the corner when I said I worked for the press. You know.
Well, that's how they are through all the years. But you know what? I think it became a part of their life.
Yeah.
Because my daughter, this was always a part of my life, and she took it for granted.
Yeah.
I think I told you this before. The night that Governor Lawrence killed over at Syria Mosque, they were having a political meeting, and we were sitting right behind him. And he turned around and had a big lengthy conversation with her. She must have been 8 or 9 years old at the time. Had a big lengthy conversation with her about her what she wanted to do, and they just talked for a long time, because I had known him for many years. When she came home from school the next day, she said, we talked about Governor Lawrence's attack last night. And I said, well, did you tell him that you knew him and that you had been talking to him before that? She said, no.
Yeah, they just take it.
Sure, but I don't really care.
I wanted to ask you about your attitudes on health. Everybody's into diets and exercise and
well,
in this age. And
I will tell you that I'm a poor example. In the last 10 years, I've put on about 40 pounds. I should take off. But because of the stress of my job, and that's an excuse, I never took dieting seriously. The only exercise I ever had was walking, and I did a lot of walking.
That's good exercise.
Yeah, no other exercise. Now, of course, I should exercise more. Problem is, 3 or 4 days a week, I'm going somewhere. So my excuse is that I don't have time. When I am home, I should be cleaning up my house, so I have another excuse. But I believe it's good, and I believe people should exercise, should watch their diets. It's probably a good thing, although I'm a poor example.
There's been so many changes in the past, well, gosh, few years, with computers and technology and just so many changes. And are you finding that it's difficult to keep up with all those technological changes?
Well, I wish that it, in the years while I was mayor, that I had tried to at least master a word processor. Because I think it's wonderful. They're doing wonderful things with computers. Some of it is good, some of it's bad, and one of the things that always irked me was trying to get somebody on a phone. You know, you get the number and they'd say, if you want Joe Blow,
I hate that too.
And they never came back to you. Never. And then if you got your phone bill yesterday, they wanted to know if you wanted to take advantage of if you called somebody and they weren't there, your number would stay on.
I've done that, yeah.
Well, I didn't. I don't want my number on there. I mean, if I call somebody,
yeah.
I had that
wrong. You press, I think it's *69.
Well,
and
now they're advertising
back.
It, and if you want that system in your house, it's going to cost you $6.50 a month, so that everybody who calls you, their number won't be on the machine for you to take.